It's December 2024. Glory to God. Just like yesterday, we shouted, Happy New Year. And I'm telling you, in another 31 days from now, we're going to be shouting, Happy New Year 2025. To the glory of God the Father. My goodness. God is good. God has been so good. So good. Somebody say, well, I don't feel who. Now you sabio. To me, he's been so good. I'm alive. I'm alive and well. Do you know what it means to have the gift of life? Balanced diet cannot keep you alive. Only Jesus can. Oh, I'm grateful to be able to breathe fresh air. I'm grateful I could go to the bathroom, use the bathroom myself. I could get dressed myself. I could come to church myself. I can hear, I can speak, I can think, I can drink, I can eat, I can sleep. Oh, wow. I battled insomnia last year. It was really bad. I was in the valley of the shadow of death. Everybody will be sleeping. My eyes will be wide awake all night. I had 3 episodes of all night, not 1 minute of sleep. Then my sleep crossed to 2 hours. It's my story. I've told it before. I'll tell it again. It's my story. And I've told you in this church, own your story. It's your story. We were driving to church this morning and we're listening to a young man, Neon something. I don't know his name. Eze Bube, see how far you brought me. And the guy was sharing his testimony. He said he was electrocuted for 2 seconds or so for a very short period. And he said he could see life ebbing away from him as smoke was already coming out of his nostrils. Smoke. God stepped in. The light got cut off. The connection got cut off. He said his siblings wanted to rush to hold him, to help him, and it would have been the whole family being electrocuted. But God stepped in, the light was cut off, the power was cut off, and then they took him to the hospital, and the doctor said if he had stayed another 2 seconds, just 2 more seconds, boom, boom, it would have been a goner. And it was from that experience, that encounter, that he wrote the song. You have a testimony. Has God not been good to you? People that are short-sighted, myopic people, in terms of being mentally myopic, people who can think, are the most ungrateful people in the world. People that have a memory loss. You see, thanksgiving is a sign that a man has not lost his memory. When you give thanks to God, it's a sign that your memory is still intact. It means you can still remember. I remember vividly like yesterday when I couldn't sleep. I remember. The writer of Lamentations wrote in Lamentations 3:21, he said, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. I recall to mind. Can you recall to mind? Can you recall? Go and listen to my messages, the series, The Power of Remembering. Man, is doing wonders in the lives of many people. And I have good news. I have good news. We've got testimonies here, and then we just try to do the analytics of our Spotify, AudioMark, and all these other channels. And we discovered this was a staggering and it was a shocking revelation that we have more downloads from Singapore than from Nigeria. In 1 month, about 327 downloads in 1 month from Singapore. Nigeria, about 200 and something. I think we're going to have to go and open a church there. Maybe you guys just release me to go to Singapore. And I'll see y'all. Praise God, amen. You must be able to recall. You must be able to recall. In 1 Samuel 17, David stood before Saul and said to him, he said, I recall a day that a lion came to my father's fold, a day that a bear came, and I went after him and I rescued the animal from his mouth. He said, the God who delivered me from the paws of the bear and from the paws of the lion, he will also deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine, and he shall be like one of them. He was able to recall. He was able to recall. He was able to remember. When you remember, you have confidence for today. You have a fresh hope for tomorrow. The fact that you are in a bad space right now does not mean your life is bad. Your life in its entirety is not bad. If you have Jesus in your life is good. Can I have an amen? Good times come and go. Bad times come and go. Same. But your life is good if you have Christ. And you can be sure that if you're going through a dark time, you are going to come out of it and you're going to experience a new day. Can I have an amen? I'm not trying to psych you up. I'm telling you the word of God. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may endure for how long? Come and talk to me if you read your Bible. Weeping may endure for how long? It's just going to be a night. And then what comes in the morning? J-O-Y. So bad times come and they also go, but your life is good. Recall the good times. Bring up the good memories. When God helped you to pass an examination, you didn't think you were going to pass because you knew that you didn't prepare well. Recall the time he rescued your life from destruction. David had to speak to his soul in Psalm 103. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm commanding you. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all. Forget not. Recall. Forget not. Remember. Forget not all his benefits. How many of them? Come on, talk to me, church. How many of his benefits? All of them. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeemed their life from destruction. Who crowned them with loving kindness and tender mercies. Are you saying God is not faithful? Are you telling me God is not good? Because you can't pay a bill right now. Do you know how many bills you're still going to have to pay for other people? On their behalf, if you keep living, if you don't die, do you know how many houses you're still going to build? All of those things are ephemeral things. They come and go. You will do them. You will achieve. You will be an achiever. You'll be successful. All right? Don't be ungrateful. I saw someone's status overnight, low-key, I'm grateful this month. And I responded to her. I said, why are you grateful low-key? Low-key. Everything is low-key in this generation. But when it comes to complaining, it's not low-key. But gratitude, low-key. No. If you're a child of the Most High God, when you're praising God, you got to be loud. You'll be so loud that it will take someone that is proud to attack you. Do you need a scripture for that? Psalm 34. Put it down on the screen quickly. I'm not even preaching yet. Psalm 34. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. All right? Verse 2. My soul shall make a boast. My soul shall make what? Come on, talk to me, church. My soul shall make what? Are you feeling Hamatan? My soul shall make what? A boast in the Lord. Who will hear? The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The proud will hear and attack me and criticize me and say, why are you praising so loud? I will be loud. I will be loud while I have breath. I will be loud. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. This is the spirit of this season. This is the first day of the last month of the year. There will never be another 2024 in our lifetime again. But while we have this, let us give him praise for all that he has done. For all the mountains he's brought us over. For all the valleys he's brought us through. Can I have an amen? Amen. You must have the ability to recall the day all you had left was just Gary to soak. There was no food but Gary. Thank God for the Gary that kept your body together, joined to your soul. Thank God you were able to even soak something. Thank God for the ability to even digest what you soaked. There is a condition called globus hystericus. I don't know if I got that very correctly. It's in medicine. When you, in the field of medicine and surgery, it's a condition where if you take something into your mouth, you are not able to digest it. You are not able to even ingest it and then digest it. It won't go down. It stays right here. Right here. Thank God for the ability to chew and to ingest and to digest. Can I have an amen? Every day you wake up the rest of this year, wake up with a smile on your face and say, thank God I'm still here. God, I just want you to know that I love you. You may not have all your prayers answered yet in the natural, but to know that he has heard you. And if he has heard you, the answer is coming. In as much as you have prayed according to his will. The Bible says in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever we ask according to his will, his word is his will. If you ask according to this will, he will hear you. Can I have an amen? He hears prayers. We serve a God that hears prayers. So give him thanks in advance. Psalm 65 verse 2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. I go into my message for today before I go too far in that direction. But I'm just pumped up for what God is going to do, and I'm just grateful for the gift of life every day of this year. And the rest of this year will be the best of this year for you in the name of Jesus. Not only for you, but also for your family in the name of Jesus. America has a culture that I think we should imbibe. They have a day, I think the last Friday of the month of November every year. They call it Thanksgiving. Families come together. People come from everywhere, come to a designated place. Maybe grandmama's house, maybe the parents' home, and they cook. They do a lot of cooking, and then they sit. They don't rush to eat on that particular day. They sit down, and they give thanks to God. They call it Thanksgiving. Nigeria should have Thanksgiving, too. If Nigeria doesn't have it, you should have it. Every day shouldn't be complaining. Even if it's Gary, we're about to soak and coolly, praise God. Let's sit down and give thanks to God. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart and give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Let the weak say, let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Oh, give thanks. Let that be your attitude every day. Blessings will flow. Blessings flow more in an atmosphere of thanksgiving than in an atmosphere of complaint. Complaining is toxic. Toxic to your blessings. Complaining is toxic. Toxic. Listen to thanksgiving songs. Praise songs. Sing them. Sing them to the Lord. Lord, I'm still counting my blessings. Those are the kind of things you'll be listening to right now. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. I want to wrap up the series, Living the Good Life. Living the Good Life. I've been teaching that for 3 weeks. I think this is the third week. This is part three. And I'm trusting God this morning. I'm going to wrap up because I don't want to preach for too long so that we can go. Amen. I have 45 minutes to go, so I'll make use of it. Now, I've been speaking about the good life. The good life is the life in Christ. There's no other good life outside of him. If your life is wealthy and rich and all of that, but Jesus is not there, it is a very bad life. But even if you don't have the material things yet, but you have Jesus in your heart, then you have life. He that has the Son of God has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Can I have an amen to that? And Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. He that cometh after me will not walk in darkness. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, because I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. If you take Jesus out of the world, what do we have left? Darkness. We have, and where you have darkness, you have wickedness, because wickedness thrives in the dark. 1 John 5:19 tells us, we know that we are the children of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that we are of God. We know that we are of God. I want to ask you this morning, are you of God? Are you a child of God? I am not asking if you're a creature of God. Everybody is a creature of God, but not everybody is a child of God. A child of God is one who has surrendered his heart for Jesus to come into that heart and become Lord and Savior. And that's where life begins. You don't have life outside of Christ. There is nothing like if you want to give your life to Christ. No, it's a mistake. It could be a slip of tongue, and we have imbibed it over time. You may give your heart to Jesus, but you can't give your life to Jesus because you don't have life outside Jesus. You begin to have life when Jesus comes in. He that has the Son of God has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Glory be to God. The whole world lies in darkness. The whole world lies in wickedness. That's why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 74 and verse 20. Psalm 74 and verse 20. It says, have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of this earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Why are they full of the habitations of cruelty? Because Satan is the king of darkness. Is the power of darkness. But glory be to God, we are no longer under the dominion of Satan. We are no longer under the power of darkness. The day you gave your life to Jesus, the day you gave your heart to Jesus and it became the Lord of your life, that day you left the power of darkness and you came into the kingdom of his dear son. Can I have an amen? Colossians 1:13-14. Quickly, Colossians 1:13-14. The Bible says, who has delivered us? Who is about to deliver us? Who is thinking of how to deliver us? What has he done? He has delivered us. Are you delivered already? Come on, are you sure? Are you delivered already? No. You need deliverance, who? Do you need deliverance? No, you don't. No, you're delivered. He has delivered us from what? The power of darkness. And what has he done? He didn't just deliver us and then he just left us there hanging. No. He delivered us, and then he moved us. He migrated us. He jackpotted us. Glory be to God. Jackpot is not just in the world. It's also in the realm of the spirit. God took us from where we were to where we were supposed to be. He translated us. He transported us. He moved us into the kingdom of his dear son. Two different kingdoms. You are walking on the streets of London, and a man, a Nigerian man, walks up to you and says, hey, I know you. 3 years ago, you offended me. Mokola Ibadan, Nigeria. I'm a policeman. You are under arrest. Man, you can give that guy a slap and you walk free. This is London. You work for the Nigerian police, not the British police. The laws of Nigeria work in Nigeria. They don't hold water in the UK. This is the UK. Are you getting what I'm saying? I have left the kingdom of Nigeria with all of their laws. I am in a new kingdom now where we don't drive on the right, we drive on the left. In Nigeria, you drive on the right. The laws of Nigeria don't operate in the United Kingdom. When God took us from the power of darkness, he brought us into the marvelous light of his son. He brought us into a new kingdom, not a fairly used kingdom. And in this new kingdom, all things are new. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things from the former kingdom have all passed away, and all things are new. Can I have an amen to that? All things are new. These are some of the things we enjoy in Christ. Forgiveness of sins. If you go back to that Colossians 1 and verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption. We have been redeemed from the curse of breaking the law. We have been redeemed. Mankind fell. And because mankind fell, the curse of breaking the law came upon mankind. The first Adam. But the last Adam showed up and redeemed us from that curse. He redeemed us through his blood. and granted us as part of our redemption package the forgiveness of our sins. God is not looking at you today and holding your sins against you. Can we still make mistakes? Do we still make mistakes? Yes, we still do make mistakes. And that's why he made a provision in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins. Now, I know that some preachers have taken that to the extreme and they say you don't need to confess. You don't need to repent because you're a new creature. God just automatically forgives you. You can just carry on the way you're living your life. Now, that's an extreme and it's very dangerous. The Bible says if we confess our sins, if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I have an amen to that? So what do I need to do to access this eternal life, this good life available in Christ, this life that is superior in quality and superabundant in quantity? Is not a little life. It's huge, it's massive. How do I access it? I said last week, one thing you must first of all realize is that this life comes by grace through faith. Somebody say by grace through faith. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 very quickly, and then I will explain grace and faith in a moment, and then we'll go. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead, but now he has raised us up. He has quickened us. Amen. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Demon spirits jam the air, and they work in the children of disobedience, people who have refused to open up their heart to Jesus. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were not different from them. We lived the kind of lifestyle that they live now. We were also living it at a time. But glory be to God. Verse 4 says, but God, somebody say, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. If we were saved by grace through faith, how do we receive our healing? By our human efforts? How is it going to happen? The greatest miracle that can happen in the life of any human being is to be saved. If that greatest miracle came by grace through faith, how do you think healing comes? You are not convinced yet. How does provision come? Not by hustle through hustle. It is by grace through faith. To explain it very simply, grace is not something you work for. That's why it's called grace. If you work for it, it's no longer grace. Jesus is grace personified. It is out of his fullness we have all received, according to John 1:16. Grace is when your dad or your mom credits your account with 250,000 naira and say, Merry Christmas, that's your allowance for December. 250,000 naira. As expensive as things are right now, that is not a bad allowance. Don't you think so? Come on, talk to me. Real people, is that a good bonus for the month? Okay. Did you work for it? Even if it's 50K. Let's even bring it down to 50K. They dash you 50K. Did you work for it? Grace. But how do you enjoy it? You now go to, because you're hungry, you go to an eatery, and then you make your order. Can I have that basmati rice? Yeah. Yeah, put some dodo on it. Yeah, I want dodo, plantain, right? Give me grilled chicken, yeah? You want to finish the money. Anyway, so, and then they put everything together and it's about 10,000 naira. And it's time to pay. He said, don't bother me. I want to eat. He said, no, you have to pay before you take your food to your table, all right? Okay, let me pay. You have your POS because I don't have cash. He said, yeah, we have a POS machine. And then what do? You bring out your ATM card, am I right? You slot it in, you put your PIN, and then they make their withdrawal. That is faith. Faith is action. There is no faith without action. James 2:17. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Faith is action. Faith always does something. Grace, it is supplied. You didn't have to do anything. It was just supplied to your account. But for you to spend it, you need to use your ATM card. Am I right about that? Or maybe there's no ATM card on you. You ask them, can I make a transfer? They say, yeah. And then you bring out your phone and punch a few buttons and boom, you make a transfer. You do something. That is faith. Faith always requires that you do something. So don't just say we are the grace generation. We don't need to do anything. That's a lie. That's an incomplete statement. Somebody has to do something. God will not do your praying for you. God has provided a medium, a channel for you to pray, and he has provided a channel for him to answer you, but you still need to pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? By grace, but then through faith. If you say, no, I'm too big to make a transfer. You want to be bothering me to bring out my phone and be transferring money? If you can't take it like that from my account, forget it. How do we take it from your account, sir? We don't have any authorization. Take it now. Get on Google. Google my name. Take the money from my account. Hello? Are you ready to eat? Come and talk to me, church. Are you really ready to eat? That's what we do when we refuse to take action. I say, God will do it. He will just do it. That's an incomplete statement. Grace has made it available. It is through faith you obtain it. Through faith you obtain. We obtain things from God through faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 2. Hebrews 11 verse 2. In verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 2, it says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. You always obtain healing, obtain deliverance, obtain wisdom, obtain provision, obtain whatever you need through faith. Through faith. Grace has made it available. But then it will come through faith. Can I have an amen? Don't forget that analogy. Your account is credited. That is grace. The process of spending it, getting it out, to do what you want with it is faith. If you don't have clothes, all your clothes are torn, all your clothes are faded, and you have been credited with 300,000 as allowance for Christmas, and you are still wearing rags around, is this still the fault of your parents? Come and talk to me. I want a response, church. Make this interactive. Is it the fault of your parents? Have they done their part? Have they credited you? Do you, in actual sense, have money? You have money, but you're living like a pauper. That's your problem. And that's the picture of many Christians today. We have the grace of God, but we live like people that have no grace. Christians are begging God. Christians are suffering. Christians are dying of sickness and disease. All these things have been paid for. They have been paid for. What more do we want God to do? To come and pay again? No. Jesus ain't going back to the cross for anybody. He's gone there and it's done. He said it's finished. The rest is ours. What by faith? By faith, the elders obtain the good report. By faith, PFE obtains a good report every day. By faith, you need to obtain a good report. Can I have an amen? You can change the doctor's report by faith. You can change Nigeria's report by faith. Nigeria may say what they like. Let them take a dollar to 1,700, 1,800. That's their cup of coffee. God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you learn to walk by faith, can I have an amen? You show up in your place of business. You show up in your place of work at the right time. You don't go late and say, by faith, I'm coming late. That's my rascality. You get up to pray at the appropriate time. You read your Bible at the appropriate time. Don't say, because I want to do personal meditation, personal time with God, that's why I'm coming late to work. They're going to sack you. If they sack you, no salary. No salary, it will affect your food. What do we do? Number one, you must repent. To access this good life, you must repent. Repentance is key. There are preachers today who are telling everybody, you don't need to repent anymore. Hey! Repentance begins upstairs, just like dominion begins upstairs. God wants you to change the way you think about sin. I understand some people are sin conscious. Yeah, everything's sin. Everything is a sin. Like a man told me in a vehicle, I can't remember where we were coming from, but when Jebu coming to Ibadan that year, he was on the other side, and he was saying that, you know, we commit a lot of sins every day. I said, really, how? And he said, you know, sometimes even when you're ironing your clothes, you know, an ant might just be walking on your fabric and you didn't see it, and then you pressed it with a hot iron. I said, is that a sin that I killed an ant? He said, yes! I said, how? He said, because you couldn't create that ant, but you killed it. Sin-conscious people. God doesn't want us to live in the consciousness of sin. He wants us to live in the consciousness of His grace. He wants us to live in the consciousness of what Christ has done. And that's why every time you miss it, you should get back to God. Get in line immediately and sort it out between you and God. Can I have an amen? It's between you and your daddy. Sort it out quickly. Repentance is key. Repentance is to make a U-turn. To repent is to make a U-turn. First of all, in the way you think about it. Don't justify it. Don't say everybody's doing it, after all. Are you in Shirue now? No, don't do that. Let's see the scripture. Luke 24, verses 45 to 47. Let's hear from the master. Is it good to hear from the master? Is it good to take his words very seriously? The head of the church, should we take him very seriously? Without him, there is no church. Luke 24, verses 45 to 47, very quickly. The master speaking, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, this was our text 3 weeks ago. Thus, it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He was explaining the scriptures to them how that Christ must suffer for us to have a good life. For us to have the, not a good life, pardon me, to have the good life. The good life. The good life. The only good life. The only good life is the life in Christ. It's not the life you sit down at the bar with your friends, drinking beer and eating pepper soup and, you know, frolicking with girls and say we're on top of the world. We're making money. We're making money. We're making money. You might be making money, but your life is not making meaning. Your life is not making any meaning. And the master said in verse 47, look at the words of the master. If you have a red letter Bible, these words are written in red letters. Red words always win. Say after me. Red words always win. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among how many nations? Come on, talk to me, church. Among how many nations? All nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is our great commission, to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name, in the name of Jesus, among all nations. And that's what Expression House is doing. And glory to God, we thank God for technology. Thank God for Spotify. Thank God for YouTube. Thank God for Facebook. Thank God for Mixlr. Thank God for Pandora. Thank God for AudioMac. And we are reaching the nations. We have statistics for it. I'm still asking the Lord, Lord, what's going on in the nation of Singapore? 50.33% of our message downloads in 1 month come from Singapore alone. 43.7% come from Nigeria. Somebody somewhere is learning something. And it's not one person who has downloaded over 327 messages, one person, or 340 something messages, not one person. Quite a number. We have analytics of different computers being used, mobile phones being used, even computers, iOS, Mac computers, and then the regular computer, Windows computers. This is our commission, to preach repentance. Repent. If you are living in sin, you are listening to me this morning, stop it. Don't justify it. Sin will kill you. Sin is a killer. The Son of God had to die to redeem us from it. If you make it a lifestyle, it will kill you. Literally. I mean, it will kill this physical body. When a life is doing well, and you want to destroy that life, introduce sin. When a home, a family is doing well, and you want to destroy that family, you don't need to use guns and weapons and bombs and inter-ballistic squad missile. No, just introduce a little sin, just a little sin. Let them start enjoying it. When Balak hired Balaam in the book of Numbers 23 to curse the children of Israel, Balaam could not curse them. He was a prophet. He was hired to curse. Every time he opened his mouth to curse, he blessed. Balak was frustrated. I hired you to curse them. Why are you blessing them? The guy said, you can't curse he that God has blessed. God has empowered to bless means to empower to succeed. God has empowered them to succeed. I can't stop them. I can't limit them. But eventually, how did they get them? Send sin into their camp. Let the men begin to sleep with strange women. Let the girls begin to lie. Let the kids lie to their parents. Let stuff begin to happen. Let fornication become rife like it is in our days. People have sex and they don't think about it. Like it's just normal. People advertise sex on social media like there is no tomorrow. And these, some of them guys, some of them ladies, they don't wear a mask. They talk about sex organs like normal. There are slangs for them, which you all know. What the devil is achieving through them is to normalize sin. But sin is not the normal habitat and is not the normal ecosystem for a child of God. Our normal ecosystem, our normal habitat is righteousness. Can I have an amen? That's why every time you step out of it, it is acidic, it is corrosive, it will touch you, it will hurt you. You need to run back. Even living in bitterness, not just sexual sins. When you are living in bitterness against someone, you don't have peace. That person doesn't have peace. Every time you see each other, you walk past each other, you hiss. That person, you don't have peace. The truth be told. No! Pastor, I have peace. I have peace. She's the one that needs to straighten our ways with the Lord. She should just learn how to respect other people. Well, you don't have peace either. Because our natural habitat is love. And part of love is forgiveness. And when we forgive others, hey, this is who we are. When you don't forgive, you are like someone who is clenching their fist. You can never receive anything. This is what happens when you hold someone in your heart. You are clenching your fist. For you to receive anything, you need to open up your palm. You open up, you release them, let them go, then God will bring blessings into your life. Can I have an amen? Repent. Whatever it is you are dealing with this morning, repent. Repentance must be preached in the name of Jesus. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And when he told them to tarry, they did tarry. And in the Acts of Apostles chapter 2, the Bible says from verses 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And began to give them a new language, and they began to speak with tongues. Their hearts were prepared, and they took the gospel out. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and go to verse 38 to 41 very quickly. Acts 2, 38 to 41. Acts 2, 38 to 41. Acts 2, 38 to 41. Then Peter said unto them, repent! the Lord, the Master, said to the disciples, to the apostles, go and preach repentance in my name. And Peter started doing that. When the Holy Ghost came and they were speaking in different tongues, people that came to Jerusalem for a feast, like people, like you can imagine, people came to Nigeria to have Christmas. And then they went to the mall. And at the mall, they saw this group of people who were speaking their own languages. People came from Jordan, from Libya, from Italy, from Sweden, from Germany. And they began to hear these people speaking their native dialect. These are Nigerians. How come they are speaking Portuguese, Chinese, Spanish, French? This is strange. And they heard them speaking. Oh, God, the man speaking German. God is good. God is good. God, because God is God in German. G-O-T-T. Is ist. Gut. G-U-T-E. And they say a lot of things in German. And the German person from Berlin was wondering, how did this guy get to know my language? Oh, imagine you going abroad. You go to America and you go to a fun fair, a carnival, right? And everybody's dancing and singing. And all of a sudden, boom, some group of people started speaking different languages, strange languages, and you started hearing your own native Ijebu language from a white man who has never been taught how to speak any African language. And he's probably saying, Awanyuwe, oh Loreni, Awaje Warefo, Enwe, Loreni. He said, ah. What's going on here? Chineke, Umema, Chineke, hey, Chuku Goziegi. A complete white man who has never been to Africa, who has never learned your language in any university. And the Edo man, you, an Edo man, you started hearing a white man speaking Edo language. Ogena, Ubeha, Ubeha, Ogena, Ubeha. Ah, Obeha, Omolua Obeha, Etse Nulu Yame, Ipe Mire Obeha. You say, eh? Etse Nulu Yame, Ipe Mire Obeha. Ah, this is somebody from Fuga, somebody from Auchi. Hearing a white man, that was what happened on the day of Pentecost. So as they were astonished and wondering what's going on here, Peter, boom, full of the Holy Ghost, began to preach to them. He preached so the people said, men and brethren, what are we going to do? What shall we do to be saved? And that's in verse 37. The Bible says they were pricked to their heart. Then Peter responded in verse 38. What did Peter say? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. And that's talking about us. We were afar off when this was happening. But the promise covered us. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Can I have an amen? I beg you, stop messing with sin. Don't let Satan eat you raw without salt. Don't let Satan eat you raw without salt. We are going to marry is different from we are married. Don't do what the married do when you are going to marry. Marry first and begin to do. There is a time to begin to do. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, the Bible says, and I hope my sound is still good, and you should check online for me if the sound is still there. The Bible says the former treatise have I written to you, O Theophilus, of the things that Jesus both began to do and teach. There is a time to begin to do certain things. Don't begin to do them until you are qualified. The things that Jesus both began both to do and teach. Young people, don't mess with sin. I understand this generation is so challenged, because we are so exposed to all kinds of content on social media that we don't even want to be exposed to. But the Lord will keep you. Two people said amen, Lord. Amen. Cut off your connection with Satan so that he can't touch you. Cut off your connection with Satan so that he cannot touch you. 1 John 5:18. When you cut off the connection, Satan will not be able to touch you. 1 John 5:18 on the screen. Can I have that quickly? 1 John 5:18. 1 John 5:18. Let's read it together, everybody. Please look up. Look up. Don't look in your Bible. Look up on the screen. Read. One, two, go. We know. Make it louder. We know. One, two, go. We know. I can't hear you. What do we know? Yeah. Uh-huh. When you keep yourself, keep yourself, that wicked one cannot touch you. He wants to touch. Satan is a hater. Did you hear what I said? He's a hater. He's looking at us. He wants us to run mad. He wants us to die young. He wants us to go broke. He wants us to go blind. He doesn't have any good plan for us. But as we keep ourselves in Christ, that wicked one cannot touch us. Satan is not powerful enough to put HIV on you. He's not powerful enough to put diabetes or whatever debilitating disease on you. If he could, he would have killed all of us. So keep yourself. Young people, keep yourself so that that wicked one cannot touch you. He likes young people to run mad in exam hall. Just run mad and never recover. Everything wicked, that's what he likes. But he will not be able to touch you as you keep yourself. Can I have an amen to that? Number two, that's my last point. Hear the words of King Jesus. Develop intimacy with him and honor him with your life. You want to enjoy this good life? Hear. Cultivate the habit of hearing the words of Jesus. King Jesus, I call him. Develop intimacy with him and honor him with your life. John chapter 6 from verse 63 to 68. John chapter 6. Are you still with me, church? Oh, glory to God. I can hear that from the media. Are you still with me, church? Are you getting blessed this morning, church? Let's see what the master said. I love the words of the master. I want you to look at those words every day. They will bless your life. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. Many people are living for the flesh, the flesh, the flesh. How I'm going to look, what I'm going to eat. I'm going to satisfy myself. And I have urges and I have to satisfy them. La, 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 la. The flesh profits nothing. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, like Americans say, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, your gra-gra will come down. Eyes will clear. People drink alcohol like no tomorrow. They want to forget all their sorrows. You fall into the gutter, you fall asleep. When you wake up, your eyes will clear. For some people, oh, I need to have sex, you know, because one man said that a man should have sex like 21 times every week because that's the best way to, and I'm wondering where he got that from. Who is it that speaks when the Lord has not commanded? And so because of that, you start living a reckless lifestyle. You see this one, Busa, that one, Busa, that one. It will kill you. The flesh has nothing to profit us. Thank God for the flesh. We need it now in this time of existence. We need to move around. We need to house our anointing. But don't live for the flesh. The flesh, the master said that the flesh profits nothing. Should we believe him? Oh, come on. Should we believe the master? Paul said, for to be carnally minded, to be body ruled, death. To be body ruled is death. Romans 8:13. Don't take it away from my John 6. 63. The master said, the words that I speak unto you, my words that I speak unto you, they are what? Come on, make it louder. They are what? Spirit. And they are what? Life. How many times do you want to have life? You want to have life every day? Is it nice to have life every moment? That's why you must keep intimacy with Jesus. Because listen, every time the Lord Jesus speaks to you, with those words come life. He was walking on water, and all the apostles were afraid as they saw him walking on water. They didn't know if it was him or it was a spirit or some kind of mermaid. And they were screaming for fear. And he said, hey, it's me. Don't be afraid, guys. And Peter said, if it's you, Lord, ask me to come. And all he said was, come. And Peter was able, immediately, Peter was able to come. He was able to walk on water. Because with the words came the ability to perform the words. Every time God tells you, step up. Immediately, don't ask him, Lord, where is the strength to step up going to come from? From the word step up, you have the strength to step up. Can I have an amen? Did you hear what I said this morning? The words of Jesus are that powerful. He's our master. He's the head of the church. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Jesus said, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then in verse 67, Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And look at what Peter said. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? At this point, thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? You are the one, you are the custodian of the words of eternal life. Every word Jesus speaks to you brings you eternal life. That's why you must never joke with his presence, whether in church or at home, in your hostel. Make sure you are connected to him. Even in your lecture theater, you are listening to your lecturers, but you are connected to Jesus. He can explain what the professor is struggling hard to explain to you in a moment. The Lord can say in one moment what a professor can never say in a lifetime. And I've told those of you that are students, and those of you that are programmers, IT people, those of you that are into tech, those of you that are into creativity, listen to me. Every time you run into a problem, stop toiling in the flesh. Medical students, stop toiling in the flesh. Lawyers, stop toiling in the flesh. I need to find a solution to this problem. Stop toiling in the flesh. Take a break. Give him worship. And say to him, Psalm 36 and verse 9, Lord, with you is the fountain of life, and in your light I see light. Can I have an amen? And in his light, banker, in the banking hall, there is a problem. Everybody's running helter-skelter. They are hitting their heads against one another. You take your time. Sit down in the front of your computer and give him worship and say, Father, in your light, I see light. King Jesus, in your light, I see light. Thank you for shedding light on this matter. Yes, a solution will come from the inside. Can I have an amen? Is it that simple? Yes, the blood of Jesus made it that simple. But people don't like the simple life. They like the hard one. Somebody say, you don't pray in your church. You need a church that prays. Where you'll be hitting your head on the floor. Bwah! Is that in the Bible? That by hitting your head on the floor, that is what will guarantee answers to your prayer? The prayer time we have, come first. Many of you don't come. Monday 3 to 5, you have never bothered to come. Sunday morning, you come late. Thursday evening, we don't see you. Encounter night. Last Thursday night was awesome here. Many of you were away without leave. Stop that as we go into the new year. Stop that. belong properly. Some of the things you are chasing after will start chasing after you. Excel was here last Sunday. She's one of the ladies that shared their testimony, and she was believing God for her visa to go to the UK to work as a nurse. Those of you that were here last Sunday, you remember that testifier. And I was asking her, when I came upstate to preach, I said, did you get an email? Did you get an SMS? And she said, she was just talking by faith. Monday after prayer, she just sent me an SMS and said, Pastor! With long R. Jesus has done it. She's got a visa now. Amen. Another lady was in the service last Sunday. Same Monday after prayer, sent a message, Pastor! With a long R. Another nurse. I got another job and it's paying double what I'm earning. God is elevating his children. Can I have an amen? Don't be left out. There is nothing you want in your life that Jesus cannot do. It may be bigger than you, but it's never bigger than Jesus. In him, all things consist. In him, all things consist. Don't let any problem swallow you. Give it to Jesus. Jesus will treat it like a knife through butter. A few more scriptures, and then we close. When Peter said, only you have the words of eternal life, go to Acts 5:20. Acts 5:20. Peter, the same thing was repeated. Acts 5:20. They had put him in prison. And guess what? The angel of the Lord came and delivered Peter. All right? And the other apostle that was with him. And now, look at verse 18. Acts 5:18. Go. No. It said, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. This is the life that I'm talking to you about this morning. Eternal life. The words of King Jesus. It makes all the difference in your life. How did they get out of prison? The prisoners could not explain. If you go to verse 22, say, but when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found way short with all safety. The prison was short with all the safety measures. And the keepers standing without before the doors. The keepers were standing outside. The doors were short inside. But when we had opened, we found no man within. How? Peter and the apostles were in prison. The angel of the Lord came. Get up. Go. Stand in the temple and preach the words of Jesus. Preach the words of eternal life. When they came to check them out, the prison was intact, locked. The prison guards were outside, fully armed. There was no sign that there was a jailbreak, but there was a jailbreak. Everybody's coming out of whatever represents a jail, whatever represents a prison in your mind, in your soul, in your life, in the name of Jesus. Nobody can bind the word of God. Nobody can imprison the word of God. They have not finished the assignment. Peter was walking down the streets of Jerusalem and they brought sick people. And people who came close around the shadow length of Peter got healed. This got Satan angry and he entered into the people, of the religious people of the time, and they ganged up against Peter and the apostles and put them in prison. Why are you doing miracles in the name of Jesus? Why are you teaching people in the name? They put them in prison. They put them in prison. An angel got into the prison, got them out of prison. Get out. Go. Go and continue your ministry. Somebody say, I am unstoppable. There is no force of hell that will stop you again in life in the name of Jesus. They came to examine the prison. The doors were shut with all safety. The guards were there, fully armed to the teeth. But when they opened the prison, they found no man there. And there was no breaking of any wall. How did they come out and they didn't see them? The supernatural. As this year winds down, the month of December, you will experience the supernatural of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. If that is you, shout a better amen. Amen. I close. Oh, my time is up, but it's a good place to close. Honor Jesus. Honor him with your life. I plead with you, honor him with your life. As you do so, hope will arise in your heart. As you do so, as you fellowship with him every day, don't get out of your house without talking to King Jesus. As you hear his words and fellowship with him, hope will arise in your heart to overcome the challenges of whatever country you live in. Because I'm not talking to Nigerians only anymore now. People are listening to us from Germany. Glory to God. From the U.S. We saw Nicaragua as part of the places where they are downloading our messages. Nicaragua. Never been to Nicaragua. But the word of God cannot be imprisoned. Those of you that are here, you are the first contact. What is changing lives in other nations? Let it change your life. If you need to repent today, please do. Don't be proud. Don't look at anybody. If I answer the altar call now, if I step out, my people will now be looking at me like a sinner. That's their own cup of coffee. Settle with your maker now. It is the wisest thing to do. It's only Jesus that can give us hope. Oriofe said it earlier. In the Nigeria of today. And it's not just a Nigerian problem. It's a global problem. Inflation everywhere. In America, in the UK, everywhere. Everywhere. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And this is our message. Not money. Not you will build a big house. You will buy cars. People who don't have God do those things. But there must be something they don't have that we have. Eternal life. Peter said, you have the words of this life. To whom shall we go? That is the spirit of look and leave. Everybody here must be an evangelist. Be available to do something. Invite people to that crusade. December 12th, 13th, and 14th. Be available to serve in the ushering department. Be available to serve as a nurse. If you're a nurse, whether you're a student nurse or you're a registered nurse, volunteer. We have a medical team. Everybody must be part of publicity. Let's get on the street. We go to Mokola the next day. That's going to be December 10th. December 11th, we go to Ajibade, Oremeji, GT Bank area, Shobande Avenue, Badejoko Hospital area. We go to the places we don't normally go to. We go to Abasa, you know, all of those areas. Go to Oketunu, tell somebody about Jesus. This is he's the light of the world. People are facing depression like crazy. I saw in the news about 2 weeks ago, there is a surge of patients in our hospitals going for depression treatment. Because people don't know how to cope. All of a sudden, 30,000 naira monthly salary has become nonsense. Your take-home pay can't take you home anymore. People beg you, they beg online for money to go to work. That will never be your portion in the name of Jesus. I said that will never be your portion in the name of Jesus. Anyone struggling financially now, the grace of God rest upon you today. I said the grace of God rest upon you today. One of our sisters sent a testimony last week. She said, Pastor, after that service, because the Holy Ghost said, he wasn't pastor. Pastor only amplified what the Holy Ghost said. There will be strange calls and messages, but they will be divine. They will bring help. Somebody says she got 100,000 support for her house rent. Talk about God coming through at the nick of time. At the nick of time. I've been there time and time again. I know that God is interested in everything that affects you. Everything that affects your family. God is interested. But you need to do yourself a favor. Get into fellowship with Jesus every day. Don't just go to him when you need money. Don't treat Jesus like your 2K, emergency 2K friend. Don't treat him like a spare tire that you only go to when you have a flat tire. Treat him like the very breath that you breathe. Treat him like the one you need the most for sufficient, for sustenance. And he knows when you treat him like that. And you also become his priority. Stand on your feet, everybody. This is the good life. This is the good life. I invite you this morning to the good life. I invite you to Jesus, the chain breaker. I invite you to Jesus, the yoke destroyer. I invite you to my Jesus, the light of the world. I invite you to Jesus, the joy giver. Jesus is the joy giver. I invite you to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You need peace? Come to Jesus. All eyes closed this morning. Before we take the communion, I want to lead us to pray. I want to lead someone to Christ here. Maybe you've accepted him before, but something happened and you just got tired and you went back. It has happened to me before. I gave him my life. I gave him my heart. I took it back. And then I gave him again. And then I think I took it back again. Then I gave him again. And that was the final. If that's your situation, I want to pray with you this morning. Or maybe you've never given him your heart before, but you want to do it for the first time. I want to pray with you this morning. This is the good life. The eternal life in Christ Jesus. The life that money cannot buy. Slip up your hand, your right hand, if you want me to pray with you. All eyes are closed, nobody looking at anybody. Slip it up above your head. Because we want to take the communion after now. If you are not born again, please don't take the communion, I beg you. If there's something to sort out between you and God, take a bold step. Come out to the altar. I want to pray with you. If there's anything at all, that you know might hamper this relationship you have with the Lord Jesus, please come out quickly. I want to pray with you. Nothing to be ashamed of, please. This is about your destiny. It's about your life. Quickly, 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 quickly. Leave your seat and come. Or maybe you are born again, but you don't speak in tongues. You have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And you want that gift. It's a free gift for everybody. Come to the altar. Quickly. Quickly. I want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you, my sisters. God bless you. God bless you. Come here. God bless you. Malabasta kadabahaya. Langrosto paleste. Nisha dabahaya. Any more that would like to come, please come. It's a good day to receive the good life. The good life. If there's anything to sort out between you and God, please come and sort it out now. 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 Malabasta kadabahaya. Say after me.